there's starting to be more and more AI in media management. We've used WSC for a long time to automate our highlight processes, but we're starting to see even more in that space in terms of object recognition, the ability to easily scan through massive amounts of video content and find just the types of images you're looking for, or maybe you're looking for a sponsor logo to, you know, provide proof or a great video back for a sponsor. We're starting to see more and more in that case. So AI generally and specific sports use cases, I think, will be one that stays front of mind for us for a while.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We're on the cusp of our new report coming out, and as always, the latest ecosystem, sports tech ecosystem report is all about focusing on the latest initiatives, all the interesting ecosystem players that are supporting the growth of startups in sports tech. And one such initiative is, of course, the MLS with their new innovation lab. And I've got on this week's episode Chris Schlosser, who is the Senior Vice President of Emerging Ventures at the MLS. Welcome to the show, Chris.
It's fantastic to be here. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Chris, you've been featured in our content quite a bit over the years. Regular readers will have seen your face in our reports, but I think it's the first time on our podcast, so glad to have you on. All right, Chris, to give you the space to talk about the MLS and all the cool stuff that you're doing there, where, by the way, I believe you're closing in on, 16 years? So part of the furniture almost at this point.
It's been an amazing run. I always assume people know about MLS, but maybe just if someone's not fully aware of MLS. So MLS was started in 1996. It was a requirement by FIFA for when the U.S. last hosted the 1994 World Cup. The league was started in 96 with 8 original teams. That grew to 10 very quickly. And then we sit here today, about a third of a way through our season. Our season runs from February through December, so a little counter to some of the European leagues. And the league is thriving. We have 29 clubs. The average value of an MLS club is $680 million, which is incredible. 18 of the 50 most valuable soccer clubs in the world happen to play in Major League Soccer. Again, just remarkable from where we started. You mentioned I've been at the league 16 years, just to give you a sense of growth. When I joined in 2008, the clubs were selling for $35 million. And so in 16 years, you just see such an appreciation in the value and the interest around the country.
Yeah, just on that, I think it was, wasn't it in David Beckham's contract that he could buy a franchise for $25 million? I think he's done quite all right on that appreciation. And I want to give you the space to continue about the MLS because we want to learn about it. But maybe connected to that, tell me about your journey in the MLS in those 16 years and how you grew into this role leading emerging ventures and looking forward, essentially.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I joined in 2008 after I wrote the business plan for MLS Digital while I was getting my MBA at Columbia. And the second year of my business school, I did a consulting assignment for the league, which literally was building the business plan, building out the economic models, the hiring models, the strategy for a digital business. Handed in the work, said thank you very much, was going to go off and work in private equity. Until the commissioner called me over that summer and said, hey, you know, that business model that you wrote, would you like to come actually build and start that? And I thought long and hard about it and said, yeah, that sounds like a perhaps not lucrative, but really fun opportunity. And so joined the league and built up the digital business, you know, built our content factory, built, you know, the first iPhone app, the first social handles. We really, you know, dove in across the board, and that was really fun to get that off the ground and running. I then transitioned and I ran our domestic media partnerships here with ESPN, Fox, and Univision. really fun to get a chance to learn the television business and understand how do you actually produce a television match and how do you think about schedules and how do you work within ESPN or a Fox, big media company. We moved our direct-to-consumer streaming product at that time from an in-house solution to ESPN Plus as one of the first leagues to do that. So again, really focused on kind of the cutting edge and being a very big leader in the space. And then coming out of COVID, we were looking around and we said, hey, you know, we think there's a real opportunity to drive deeper on innovation and the startup ecosystem. And so we launched what we call MLS Emerging Ventures coming out of COVID. And really our remit is twofold. One, it's to create long-term revenue for the league. And two, it's to help be the on-ramp for amazing technology to come into the league wherever that may fit best. And you mentioned in one of your intros that the league today is very different. We have MLS, the first league, which is thriving, unbelievable. We talked about it. We launched a second league called MLS Next Pro, fully professional league. That will scale over time, we think, to 50 or so clubs. And then we have a massive youth ecosystem called MLS Next, 10,000 matches a year, 12,000 players. And so we have this whole ecosystem of different competitions. And when we think about the startup ecosystem, it's really fun because we can plug companies and products in anywhere along that pyramid to really drive value for the company and then also really help support great young startups and founders. And so it's kind of a match made in heaven. And we think unique in, if you think about global football, there's not really another league out there that has that kind of breadth and different competitions all under its roof in terms of, running and organizing the competition and the business side. So it's been a really fruitful start for us and amazing. If you think about just my career trajectory, yes, it's been 16 years, but it's almost been three totally different jobs. Sure, some underpinnings of, media and tech and being on the cutting edge, but, really fun to have three totally different challenges along the way.
And it's really interesting that you speak about it as a pyramid. I believe Next Pro was set up only a couple of years ago, right? It's only been 2 or 3 years that you've had the second league, essentially. And unlike European football, there is no relegation and promotion. So teams stay where they are. But what that does create is a playground, essentially, for talent, for actually athletes to come through the system. And for you, I guess, at Emerging Ventures, a playground to test different types of solutions. Speaking of, let's maybe spend a bit of time talking about solutions that you all are interested in. So what kind of startups are you usually looking to engage with? And in what way? Are you an investor? Are you just purely a customer? How do you work with these companies?
So I guess the best way I could say that is, we are not a financial investor. We're not another VC out there. We are very much a strategic partner for great, great young startups. And we think about the world in kind of three general buckets. We're looking for solutions that help drive player development. We want to make better players on the field, and that's broad. That could be direct training. That could be health and wellness. That could be sleep and recovery. But we think there's a lot that we can do in player development. Second area we spend a lot of time on is fan engagement and how do we create better fan experiences, whether that's in the stadium, whether that's at home, whether that's at the pub. There's a lot that you can do in that space. And then the third space, we obviously have the global media deal with Apple, which I'm sure folks have seen and read about if they're tuning into to your show. But what maybe people don't understand is we do all of the production for all of the broadcasts on Apple Season Pass. We have a facility here in Harlem in New York, and we produce all the studio shows and all the live content. And so the third leg of the stool for us that we spend a lot of time on is back-end media tech. We're not thinking about the consumer side. Apple handles that. They're brilliant at creating apps and those experiences. But we're very focused on the back end of the production and what can we do to make that production better, whether that's the live production, whether it's studio production, whether it's graphics, whether it's data, whether it's cloud and new ways of moving footage around, whether that's localization around the world. It's a very fruitful and interesting area for us. So those are kind of the three lenses that we have out in the world. And we were looking around and said, MLS has a long history of innovation, both on the technical side, on the sporting side, but then also in fan experiences. But we've never actually had a formalized innovation program. We kind of caught where we could and did things here or there, but we never had a group focused on it. We never had a formal program. And so last year we launched the MLS Innovation Lab as a formal annual program where we can wrangle the entire enterprise and get everybody excited and interested and focused on one program. So the Innovation Lab, it's a application-based program. So you have to apply to get in. In the first cohort, we saw about 500 applicants for what ended up being six spots. And there's a, you know, there's a whole cut down process that, that we go through to pick the best companies to go through that program. And then it's 9 months. So it runs from the fall through July of every year. And there's a couple different components to it. One, there's 3 weeks a year where we bring everybody together for real intensive testing weeks where we're putting product on players, on field, giving product experiences to fans, and one, letting the companies test, showcase, iterate their products. And two, it's a really good chance for us to dive deep and truly understand how the product works, how it functions, the pluses and minuses of the product in question. And then, so that happens three weeks a year. And then throughout the 9 months, we're building really interesting engagement for the cohort companies. They're presenting to all 30 coaching staffs. They're presenting to all 30 of our club presidents. They're presenting to all of the data and sports science committee. They're presenting to our corporate partners, our corporate sponsors. Our, you know, Apple's getting engaged. Adidas is getting engaged. All the league executives are engaged. And so it's a really fruitful process for the companies. And our goal there is, one, just to really provide significant exposure for them. But two, frankly, to help speed their own revenue and sales cycles. Because if we can put a company in front of 30 clubs at one time, you know, that's really valuable to them. So they don't have to go make 30 sales calls or 30 trips around the country. And we can, you know, make everybody aware. And then because all the clubs are at these testing weeks, they can then also follow up and say, all right, great, we're going to actually do live demos and showcase during the in-person weeks. And so it's kind of a nice give and take between the virtual sessions and the in-person sessions. And that's proved really fruitful. And then the capstone of the program is we'll select the best three companies from the year, and they will present to our board of governors, you know, the 30 owners of our clubs, as kind of an elevator pitch at the end of the year. And then the league has an option to make an equity investment in those companies if we decide to go down that route. Or it may be, you know, more beneficial that, you know, the league buys the software in question, or our clubs buy the software in question. And so the outcomes can be very different. But we think that's a really exciting structure. And, you know, we've seen that through this first cohort, the companies are just thriving, and it's a really phenomenal group of founders and products that we've found from around the world.
Makes a lot of sense. So just to bring that back home, to unpack it a bit, let's say the three main areas: solutions for athletes, solutions for fans, and media production. So that's the focus areas. Now that gets distilled through an application process into six companies in the first cohort, three of whom will get to, I mean, all those six companies get access to the network that you all provide, which is, of course, the 30 teams. But as we've established, the feeder leagues as well, the Next Pro and the Youth League. So they get a lot of different types of access, apart from sponsors and partners, et cetera. And then three of those companies get into a pitch day, essentially, an investor demo day, which is in front of the, I think you called it the executive committee or whatever, the founding members of the league. And also, as you said, the league has the option to invest. So I guess a well-rounded program, and rinse repeat every year, so that you get in front, or you get the chance to tap into new technologies every year. Okay, nicely set up. Is there any financial component to the offer? Do the startups, so in selecting those six companies, there's no investment, right? That's just the access that they get once they come into the program.
Correct. Yeah, we don't mandate or guarantee financial investment in the companies. Right. Frankly, we really want to see how they perform throughout the year, and then make that decision on the back end rather than guaranteeing up front. The other piece there is, you know, we may have two similar companies you know, in a cohort at the same time so that we can see two competing solutions side by side and then make a determination at the end in terms of which we think is the better suited product for us. Or maybe they're both great and one is better at the first team level and the other is better at a youth team level. And that's right. That's really interesting for us to be able to sort through as we go through those types of programs.
Which makes sense as well. All right. So maybe can you talk about the six companies that have been selected for this year's cohort? Any standouts that, well, I don't want you to pick between the children in some ways, but any particular ones that that you have your eye out for or an area that you have your eye out for?
What I would say, so the six companies this year are Fabric, which is a AR company based here in the United States. Achamps, which is a really interesting training company based in Barcelona.
Yep.
We have two camera companies, Replayer, which is a mobile camera company, again, based here in the US, and Stadium, which is a German company, fixed installs, super high quality, AI-generated broadcasts. Then we have Fit Together, which is a South Korean company that does very, very, very accurate GPS-based tracking for players on field. So think about kind of next generation bibs that players wear and provide super accurate output. And then lastly, we have Cam AI, which is an AI localization company based in the Middle East. So first off, if you take a step back, global cohort, which is we find really interesting, just how diverse the companies are in this first cohort. And that was not something we expected. Frankly, we were thinking we'd get more US-based companies, but that's been really exciting just to see the global nature of the sports tech world today. And that makes sense, especially in a global sport like football. And then two, you know, what I'd say is good diversity in terms of product set. You know, lots to play with throughout the cohort, and they're all doing remarkably well. They're all very different companies. They're all thriving in their own ways. And we've been, you know, really excited to get incredible feedback from our broad community on the different companies. And of course, right, like coaches might really like engaging with Achamps or Fit Together, who are more tactical training based devices. And the club presidents might be more interested in, you know, Fabric or Cam, who are more, you know, media or fan engagement solutions. But it's just been fun to get everybody active and engaged across the company for this cohort.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think it also kind of fits into the outline that you shared earlier. It's kind of like two, two, and two. The three areas, a couple in the athlete space, a couple in the fan space, and a couple in the production space. Just a side note, I actually went to the Achamps office in Barcelona. I was there a couple of days ago for completely unrelated work, but happened to bump into the team there. Shout out to Killian, who I've known for a while. So great to see a good cohort of companies. Cam AI also recently in the news, as are a lot of the others. All right, so we've covered a few of the areas that you clearly find important, whether it's video production, something AR-based. Are there any specific sports tech trends that are maybe not in this cohort, or haven't been covered yet, that you're keenly keeping an eye out for? And or is, let's say, it's on the MLS's radar in terms of future-proofing?
Well, I'll give you two. The easy one there is probably AI, right? AI is the topic du jour. And what we're seeing is,
but can, you know, I push there, it? Just to say, any specific application of AI? So you've got AI-based translation into different languages, which is a great use case, I think, for automated commentary and such. But anything else that you're looking at?
Yeah, I think that. So that's exactly right. There's so much, you know, talk about ChatGPT or Llama from Meta or the other kind of big massive language models. And I don't know that any of those are truly fully ready or customized for sports industry use cases. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing a lot of are AI-based solutions that kind of sit on top of those models or use proprietary models. Cam, you know, really interesting in terms of AI use for automated translation, the ability to localize content, whether VOD or live content. That's a great specific use case. we're also starting to see a lot in terms of AI in and around data and analytics. And, you know, as we're in discussions with cohort for the second cohort at the moment, a lot of companies kind of who are bringing really interesting AI-based use cases for analytics and data science. Third, I'd say is there's starting to be more and more AI in media management. We've used WSC for a long time to automate our highlight processes, but we're starting to see even more in that space in terms of object recognition, the ability to easily scan through massive amounts of video content and find just the types of images you're looking for, or maybe you're looking for a sponsor logo to, you know, provide proof or a great video back for a sponsor. We're starting to see more and more in that case. So AI generally and specific sports use cases, I think, will be one that stays front of mind for us for a while. The second, in our player development lens, we're seeing a lot around connected athlete. And that's been really interesting. You know, if, you know, I have the sports watch on, I have the Whoop on, and that was kind of first generation. And now what we're starting to see is even more specialized sensors that can track very specific things for the athlete or athlete wellness, which is really interesting. You know, we're starting to see more and more sensors in different types of devices that can create new sports data in interesting ways, you know, bring out things like acceleration or force or automated statistics generation because of a network of sensors that can be placed on athletes. And so that's just, it's still probably early in that space, but that's something that, you know, we've just seen a bunch come in the door and some really, really interesting use cases as we look forward, I think, in that area that we'll probably spend a lot of time on.
The Fit Insider does a great piece. For anybody who doesn't know, Fit Insider is one of my favorite resources for, let's say, athlete or fitness related information. But they have this really good story that they tell around the quantified athlete that they call it, and how basically there are so many different data points or devices that you can use to collect data points. And going beyond Chris calls Whoop generation one, I don't know what you'd call the first smartwatch there, or Fitbit that was just tracking steps, generation, I don't know, prehistoric almost, but now it feels like. But as we're getting further and further into different types of metrics, invasive or non-invasive, lactate, VO2, like various other things, which are adding layers of information to the athlete. Sorry, you were going to say something, Chris.
Well, it's funny because I also think there's like a limit to the number of sensors that the athlete wants to wear, right? Like you don't want an entire arm full of different sensors tracking different things.
And rings, so there's going to have to be
consolidation, because there is like, there's just a practical limit. One, to the amount of stuff you want to wear, but two, to the number of insights that you can track, even with, you know, sports scientists and nutritionists and performance coaches and all of that at our clubs. Even in that kind of super high focused environment, I still think there's probably a limit to the amount of data that's truly usable. And so, you know, we're kind of on this line of, okay, what's possible and what's really interesting, but then also what's the practical use case, and can it actually, you know, do what it says? Can it increase recovery? Can it decrease injury? Can it, you know, provide better insights for a coaching staff? And especially as we go down into the youth levels, where you don't have all of that, you know, usual infrastructure around nutritionists and scientists and all of that, it has to be really simple and easy for a coach or a parent to be able to use. And so that's one of the filters and lenses that we always keep kind of front and center, depending on where we're placing the startup, is truly how easy and accurate will it be to use it.
Absolutely. Data fatigue is a thing. And even, let's say, I think people maybe like us, I don't want to be too presumptuous, but who are maybe a bit more data savvy or a bit more data interested or data inclined, let's say. I mean, I know a lot of friends of mine who are put in that category where even Whoop is a bit overwhelming because you get a lot of information or the impacts of that data. So a very interesting conversation to be had there. One interesting conversation while I have you, Chris, is about Apple and the partnership with the MLS. And you touched on it earlier in this conversation that you said that essentially you're still running the broadcasting, or running the production, I should say. But I'd imagine that with Apple, or maybe you can speak to the nature of the innovation side of that partnership. How closely do you all work together? Because obviously Apple has a long-term view of the MLS and on sports in general, and we keep seeing them invest in sports in a bigger way. But the MLS was almost their first big move. So I guess in some ways it's a playground for them. Maybe speak to your partnership with Apple and what are the areas that you all are working together to innovate on?
Yeah, like Apple is a phenomenal company, obviously, with tremendous resources. They do incredible work on the behalf of MLS. One, just the ability to put our games in any country around the world on one device, one platform, right? You can get every game in with one subscription. And I think, the year before the Apple deal, if you wanted to watch every MLS game, you had to have like 11 different subscriptions or something. And so even just that is such an amazing step forward. And then I think if you think about Apple, what do you first think of? Usually some level of like product quality and design. And so they're bringing that, right? Like they design all the graphics for our broadcasts, and how incredible is it to have somebody like that thinking about, how do you make sports data come to life in a broadcast? And then you've already seen, right? Like in Vision Pro, obviously still early days for that device, but they've gone out and filmed a bunch of MLS content in Vision Pro, in, the stereoscopic video, the kind of the 3D video that they have. So you can go experience the MLS playoffs as a short film now on Vision Pro. And like you're sitting there and the players are coming at you, and it's a pretty incredible experience. And again, this is all early days, right? Like we're like 14 months into this partnership with them. It's a 10-year partnership. And so there's still so much more to come, as we think about how to use data, how do you build better experiences? How do you take advantage of whatever the next devices are that they have in their pipeline? I think it'll be a really fun and exciting decade for us. And we talk to them, no surprise, right? Like we're on the phone with Apple 6 times a week, at least. Like it's nonstop in terms of what are you doing? What are we doing? What is to be developed? And that's the fun of having a long-term partnership where you can lean in together.
That's great to hear. I mean, let's say the headlines speak for themselves. Apple are clearly invested and super interested in the growth of sports. And the MLS is their first point on that journey. So great to hear that this is such a well-integrated conversation. All right. Looking forward, Chris, what's coming up for the MLS Innovation, the Emerging Innovation Lab, or for Emerging Ventures over the next 12 to 18 months? I mean, apart from the next cohort, I'd imagine, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, what I'd say generally is what an unbelievable time to be in football here in the United States with Copa America here this summer, right? The Club World Cup here next summer, and then World Cup in 26. I mean, just incredible ramp of just interest. And so a lot of what we're thinking about is how do we make sure that there are remarkable programs. If somebody wants to play soccer coming out of the World Cup or one of these events, that it's really easy to find a way to play soccer. If you want to experience MLS, go to a game, whether it's MLS or Next Pro, that there's a tremendous stadium experience, in a stadium and a city near you to go experience that. And then on the pure tech and innovation side, I mean, if you look around the world right now, just what a fascinating time to be working in this space with all the changes in AI, all the new technologies, all the new capabilities, processing power, that's available. And so I think we're just going to continue to see remarkable steps forward in the sports industry across those three lanes. I think the players are going to get better and better and better. The fan experience is going to get more personalized, more customized, more tailored to you. And then the media, I think we are still, it's amazing. Obviously streaming is not new in any way, shape or form anymore. But if you think about truly the streaming experience, we're still basically taking a broadcast that was made for linear television, running it through an encoder, and then that's a streaming experience, and you're just getting it delivered via some IP channel rather than a coax cable in your wall or a satellite dish. And I think we're starting to just scratch the surface in terms of digital is truly a interactive device. Whether you're on your phone, your tablet, your Apple TV, your laptop, digital is an interactive device. And so how do we make those experiences of watching MLS truly interactive so you can select whether it's the language of the audio you want or the data you want to look at or the, you know, gaming experience that you want to have with your friends while you're playing, or you want to be chatting, you know, with friends, or you want to have the Vision Pro headset on and customize all the different windows around because you want that truly, you know, immersive experience. Again, we're just starting that process. And I think you're, you know, over the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to continue to see more and more and more innovation in that experience of what it means to watch an MLS match or a sports event. I think that'll be really fun and exciting.
I'm not an Apple device user myself, but just because of that partnership, it almost makes me want to, I mean, I have a second device I use to test different things, an Apple, an iPhone, but just for that partnership, well, I kid you not.
And you know, the guys would kill me. The Apple Season Pass is available via the web on any device. So you can go to apple.com and watch any match just via you know, a web browser. Every weekend, there's a couple games for free, so you don't even have to have a subscription. You can go check it out. You know, and there's a whole host of great you know, library content up there now. So it's worth going. And if you haven't taken a look at the MLS Apple experience, I highly, highly recommend, you know, fire up your Apple device, fire up your web browser, and just go take a look at what we're doing today as a starting point. Watch a match and then, you know, get some ideas on what might be possible in the future.
Great plug, great shout out. And that's exactly right. I mean, it's just exciting to me. We talk a lot about in terms of trends to come and what areas to look out for. And broadcasting tech is ripe for innovation for so many reasons, apart from the big tech giants entering the space, the direct-to-consumer market and how that will manifest, and all the interactive layers that you were talking about that digital can empower, but hasn't yet for various reasons. So it's a space that is ripe for disruption, amongst other things. So yeah, exciting time. And I think especially this one, the MLS Apple partnership, I feel, that's my personal opinion, will be the playground where a lot of this manifests. So as you said, as Chris said, definitely if you haven't yet, go check it out. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to come on this pod and share a whole bunch of stuff about the Innovation Lab and what you're looking for. Before I let you go, I have one last question to ask. It is usually my favorite one too. I like to believe that we're all sports fans first. So I want to know what has been your favorite sporting experience. You can talk about maybe your time as an athlete in some way or as a fan.
Well, I'll give you two. One, my favorite soccer experience was going to the first ever MLS All-Star game. I was in high school at the time, and the MLS All-Stars played Brazil in an unbelievable doubleheader at Giant Stadium. I can still remember sitting behind the goal, Todd Roma scoring an unbelievable goal. I was there with my friends, my family, and that kind of really kickstarted my love of professional soccer. And so that, wow, that one sticks top of mind. And then second, totally different, but I had a chance to go a couple of years ago to a NASCAR race and go walk the pit lane at a NASCAR race. And I just thought that was such a remarkable experience. Obviously so different from MLS, so different from soccer that I'm versed in, but the feel, the, you know, the sound, the feel of the engines, and just all of that experience was truly remarkable. And I thought it was so cool that they bring fans. You know, we had passes to literally walk down the pit lane while the race was going on, and you're there and you're seeing the guys do the pit stops, and how immersive and engaging of an experience. And so I think that's a good thing for all of us to figure out, is how do we bring fans closer to the action? How do we give them a unique look at our sports and our stadiums and the matches and the competitions? And I thought NASCAR has just done a really phenomenal job of that. And so, you know, I that was eye opening for me. I'm not a NASCAR fan. You know, it's not something that's part of my weekly consumption. But, you know, as a step out of kind of the normal, I thought that was really cool and really fun.
Excellent shot. I'm not a NASCAR fan myself, I have to admit, but I'm a Formula One fan, or just motorsports in general. And let's say, I think that's not a bad shot to get in touch with my buddies over at NASCAR and the innovation side. That's usually who usually we speak with and try to get one of these VIP passes or whatever, or the grid walk passes. It was, sounds like a lot of fun. Why not, right?
It was tremendous. But and just good to, you know, step outside your comfort zone and go experience something different.
Fantastic. Chris, thanks once again for taking the time. Appreciate you being here and sharing the details. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best place to do that? LinkedIn or via email?
LinkedIn or email is chris@mlssoccer.com. Very easy email address, and look forward to following up with folks. And thank you very much for having me on. It was a really fun conversation.
No worries at all. We'll drop those details in the show notes. Thanks once again to Chris, and that's a wrap for another episode. Yeah, I think that'll bring an end to our innovation focus series. We've spoken to a bunch of people from various new initiatives, from the Champions League to the MLS now and various others in between. So, I think that'll bring our innovation series to an end. We've got another series focused on sports tech in India coming up, leading up to our Indian Sports Tech Report. There's so much happening everywhere in sports tech. We've got to pick a topic, and India is our next one because there is, as Chris said, we're talking about football in the US, or soccer in the US. India is leading up to a bunch of big events in sports as well. So that's our focus for the next month. Stay tuned for more good content. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.